So if you go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We were there on last week. Luke chapter 6. We're going to pick up our reading today at verse number 17. Luke 6.
Amen.
And 17. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people and all of all Judeans and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits,
come on here.
And they were healed.
Yes.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, help us, Jesus, and shall reproach you and cast off your name as well for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. There went out of him a virtue out of him and healed them all. In our series of Christian Consistency, Always the Same, this is consistent prayer, or the results of consistent prayer too. You remember on last week, Jesus had gone into the mountain for to pray. The scripture says that he prayed all night long. His prayer all night long to the Father had to include the decision that he had to make about who the disciples, his in crowd, was going to be. He prays all night long. And the scripture says when morning came, that he called these men to be disciples. And amongst the group, Peter, Thomas, and Judas Iscariot.
Right.
Took all night, Prophet Coleman, for him to come up with a motley crew like he came with. But he had spent time with the Father, the text says,
yeah,
in order to get these people. So that's who it needed to be with. After all night prayer meeting with just Jesus and his Father, his prayer showed his dependence upon his Father, showed his dependence upon the faithfulness of his friends.
Yeah.
And it led him to the dependence upon the faithfulness of his future, the faith that would come. There were some things that happened in prayer time.
Yeah.
That you know, we go in prayer time and we're expecting God to change some things.
Right.
But we don't look for him to change us.
That's right.
And so after we come out of our prayer time, there ought to be some things that should change us too. Mm-hmm. That we ought to want to do some things a little differently.
Yeah.
And so after we've come out of prayer and after their dependency has shown up, we find that Jesus, as a result of his prayer, shows the dynamicness, let me say it like that, of who he is. Yeah, he's come down from the mountain. And before him are his disciples and a great big crowd of folk. In the midst of the congregation, you got Jews, you got Romans, you got Greeks, you got Phoenicians, and you got Arabs. And Jesus knew and loved all of them. Yeah, glory to God. But particularly, his eye was upon the company of his disciples, even more attentively on the dozen of whom he had now declared to make his apostles, his special sent ones.
Mm-hmm.
And these men he called to him, and in the company of them, he continued toward the waiting crowd. He's got his group with him, and he's on his way down to meet with the rest of the crowd. The multitudes, the scripture says, came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases.
All right.
Now, isn't that something that people are going to come there with expectation to see Jesus? They have gotten to have heard word about what he's been doing and where he is. And somebody said, well, he's up in the mountain praying.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine to know that since some things have been happening when Jesus prays, you want to be around him when he gets back from prayer time.
Yeah, yeah.
There he is. He comes down from the mountain. The text says there were people that showed up there who wanted to be healed of their diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Among these needy people were or some who were vexed with unclean spirits.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Help us, Jesus. Others of them were just hungry. They were just hungry. They had hungry hearts. Stuff that was going on that caused their own souls to be empty.
Mm-hmm.
They are there to hear the word from Jesus. And the text says, and they were healed. Can I tell you, every now and then, you ought to show up around the house of God to hear the word of God, because you too can get healed.
That's
you too
right.
can get delivered.
Yes.
You too can be set free.
Thank you. Yes, Lord.
And they were all healed. He says that people sought to touch him. They wanted to, it wasn't enough to be able to see him. Wasn't enough to be in his presence. He said they wanted to touch him.
Yes.
For there went virtue out of him and healed them all.
Mm-hmm.
They said that if I could just get my hand on him,
whatever's
going on with me, going to be all right.
That's right.
Yeah, he can fix it. Yeah, after a while. Yeah, he said, not after a while. I want to be fixed right now. So if I get to him and I can just touch him.
Yes.
I'd be all right. That virtue was going out. Virtue, that word, dunamis, y'all, it suggests inherent invincible power.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was. And here we have this dynamic Savior, Jesus, and he healed them all. And that's the thing that impressed Dr. Luke as he's going over his notes here. You know, Luke is the physician.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to understand he's able to heal all the folk. He ain't got no black bag. He's not wearing no stethoscope around his neck, but he's able to heal all of them. Yeah, but you got to recognize here at once in text that Jesus, when he starts talking after the healing, he begins to speak words that sound like the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember the Beatitudes. And it appears that these here that are listed seem like they're some unusual Beatitudes. But They sound like the Mount Sermon, but there are enough differences between them to determine that this is not the same sermon. The Lord must have repeated himself when he was going here and there. Yeah, don't y'all look at me strange when you hear me say something that you heard me say before.
Right.
But he repeated himself, and I ought to be able to repeat myself. I understand that any sermon that ain't good enough to be repeated one time shouldn't have been preached in the first time. Yeah, here the Lord is repeating himself as he's traveling here and there, and this discourse, he is addressing his own disciples, particularly the 12.
Uh-huh.
Now, listen, y'all. They done heard this before. And everywhere they go, they probably done heard something of the same manner before. But but this time, the words doubtless have some foreign kind of ring. He called blessed the very kind of people that we pity.
Exactly.
They were addressed to his new apostles.
Yeah.
And you may find yourself among this list from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Jesus. There were those, listen at the list, there were those, for instance, who were disadvantaged. I'm right there in verse number 20.
Uh-huh.
They were the poor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The word for blessed, y'all know it means happy. You can hear it. Happy. That's what it is. But can you get with the fact that the poor are happy?
Uh-huh.
If you find yourself in poor situations, are you excited about that?
No.
Is there some excitement that comes over you?
No.
Listen to the word of God. Jesus, it's read in my Bible, it's in yours too, if you ain't tore it out. It's Jesus says that happy, blessed are the poor. Says yours is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said. The poor have the kingdom of God. It belongs to them. You were talking about all that land that your family, they don't even compare to all them 60 some acres of land. It doesn't compare to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah. The poor have always been more open to the gospel than the rich.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you don't understand. You might be poor, but there's something about your space that the Lord looks upon, that he blesses, that he causes sadness to turn to joy, that to turn your frowns upside down. The poor, they've always been easier to get the word than the rich.
Yeah.
Rich folk think they got it on their own. And the Lord, he really knew what it was like to be poor. The rich young ruler's wealth got in his way. Y'all remember the story. The rich young ruler came running. Jesus, what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told him, get rid of all and sell everything that you have.
Sell it.
Give it to the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just messed him up. The scripture says he went away sorrowfully because he was very rich.
Yes.
Yeah. Then there was the wealth of the rich fool that blinded him to death's silent approach to foreclose on his spiritual bankruptcy. Yeah. You remember the story about the man who had the land. The land produced so much that he didn't have enough barns to hold it all.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build me up some new ones. And Jesus came to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Yeah.
Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? somebody else going to get everything that you think you going to hoard up.
Yeah.
Then you got the rich man in hell that found out that his wealth bore witness against him. Do you remember? There he is, the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture declares that Lazarus was in comfort.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the poor man, the rich man, was in torment.
Yes.
In hell, begging and pleading. Lord, let Lazarus come and dip his finger in the water.
Yeah.
The word came back, there is a great gulf. He can't get to you. You sure enough can't get to him. Glory to the Lamb of God. But then there were those who were distressed. Verse number 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. I don't care what your hunger is. Your hunger could be for food. Your hunger could be for some other things.
Yes.
But that kind of thing will kind of mess you up. You know, it will cause you to struggle from this time until you get past or to a place of satisfaction. For ye shall, the scripture says, ye shall be filled. Anticipating the contrast in the text between the current miseries and the millennial blessings. You're going to be filled. It might look bad right now, but hold on just a little while longer.
Hold on.
But even under current circumstances in a world ruled by Satan, where hunger is endemic and famines approach apocalyptic proportions, there is a benefit to being hungry. Anybody want to hear that? For one thing, a hungry person often has a greater appetite for the gospel than does a man whose physical needs are satisfied.
Right.
You know, people who really need the Lord show up at church. They show up at Bible study. They stay in prayer. They read their word. But people that got all that they need, when they get it, they get scarce. You'll see them ever now and again.
All right.
And Jesus, too, knew what it was like to be hungry, right down to the very doors of death. In the 40-day fast that was precluded his public ministry, which is where we're in now, this Lenten season, a 40-day period where we will sacrifice as well. He began his work by being hungry, and he ended it by being thirsty. Then, too, there were those who were detested. Look at verse number 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. I just got messed up. In the beginning, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And many times they hate you and you don't even know that they hate you.
That's right.
And then you don't know why they hate you. Sometimes they don't even know why they hate you. But he said that them folk gonna hate you, but you gonna be blessed.
All right.
And when they shall separate you from their company. Do you not know that there are folk who desire to be in your presence?
Yeah.
That you will bankrupt them from your presence. You will take yourself out of the situation so that they can't be blessed by you. It'd be one thing if you were around folk who were able to do great and mighty things, but you were in their presence and say, no, I don't want to be bothered with you. That's a messed up kind of situation. There are people who will make themselves scarce from you. So you're not unable to receive joy that would come from their presence. You don't understand how much a blessing you are to people just when you show up. I heard y'all when the prophet came in today, y'all was hollering out here, I'm all the way in the back. He'd been missing a few weeks and all of a sudden, y'all excited. I've been here every Sunday. Don't holler when I come out. Glory to the Lord. These unusual beatitudes are not directed, y'all. Look at it. Look at the text. He said they are not directed to outside folk. They are directed to the Lord's disciples, especially these apostles that he has just called. They were fully expecting the momentary establishment of the millennial kingdom. The Lord had to disillusion them. Poverty, privation and persecution were in their sights as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to let them know, I have called you to be not just my disciples, but my apostles. But you're going to be poor. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have folk trying to stay away from you and keep you away from them. But he says that your reward is great in heaven. It's amazing to be able to get to the place of reward. You got to go through some poor stuff. You got to go through some hated stuff. You got to go through some persecuted stuff. You got to go through some things to get to the place of reward.
That's right.
I get tripped out every now and again because some stuff happens in the way, along the way. Some stuff happens, the sister Barry said, against me. But my reward, Sister Barry, your reward is great in heaven.
Yeah.
There is a reward for us to go through our periods of lack. There is a reward to go through your periods where people will disassociate themselves with you. You've got to continue because your reward is great in heaven. You know, the Lord is looking ahead to the crowning day that's coming. Because he says, rejoice. I'm through. Rejoice ye in that day. And
leap
for joy.
Yeah.
Let me push pause right there. He said, rejoice in that day. That day. The day is not the day of reward.
Amen.
The day is the day of persecution.
Yeah.
The day is the day of hatred.
Yes.
The day is the day of all of those things coming against you. The day is the day of separation. In that day, rejoice and leap for joy.
Yes.
For behold, your reward is great in heaven.
Yes, sir.
For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Say, other folk don't get through the same thing.
That's right.
But they made it in. Their reward is great in heaven. The person who cannot see beyond this current age and this present life to the life that is to come is blind indeed. You've got to be able to see beyond what's going on right now in your face to see to the place of reward up in heaven. It was Jesus's ability to look beyond his agony, his present agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, to say to the Father, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
It was Jesus' ability to look beyond the nails in his hands and feet, to pray to the Father to forgive those who are coming against him, that are killing him right now. It was the ability of Jesus to look beyond his anguish to grant the dying thief his request. Remember me. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. It was the ability of Jesus to look beyond his moment of weakness, his moment of feeling abandoned, to the place where he could recognize his help and recognize his hope. And he would cry out, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Look at him. He had to look beyond where he was to the place that had to be beyond him. And if I can just get to the Father, I know that everything is going to be all right. I know the Father loves me. I know the Father cares for me. I know the Father will keep me. So into your hand, I commend my spirit.
Yeah.
And look at it. I told y'all pray one thing and then things turn differently. He says that and he dies. He died. He died till the sun stopped shining. He died till the moon dripped away in blood. He died till the stars fell from their starry sockets. He died and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Wasn't going to be there long. And the Father, look at him. He raised him up on third day.
Yes.
Third day morning. He got up with all power in heaven and in earth. And they're saying, look at the reward for what he had to go through. He receives all power, heaven and earth, in his hand.
Yeah.
But this same Jesus.
Same Jesus.
With all power. Mm-hmm. Desires to give it to you. He wants to release it to you. He says, I am suffering no lack if I share with you what I have. I wish we had that same kind of spirit. He says, I think it not robbery to give you what the Father gave me. Anybody need that kind of power? Do you need the power that comes from the man named Jesus?
Yes.
There were people in the crowd who were doing all they could to touch him. And we got people who will come to the crowd and not receive the touch. Because he's touching. He is healing.
Yes.
He is delivering.
Thank you.
He's saving and he's setting free. Will you receive the touch that you need that God can get glory from your life? Amen.
Amen.